Ferris Realtors is presenting this program for you in the spirit of Christmas.
I grew up in Eastern Kentucky, so what I remember the most is growing up at Christmas with, you know, 30, 40 cousins and tons of packages around a tree, home-cooked food, family time, church plays, just a lot of togetherness, just the spirit of it, the joy, the twinkle in the kids' eyes.
That's what Ferris Realtors' Marcia Booth remembers about her early Christmases. What does Christmas do to the people you meet, Marcia?
You notice more people speaking to you now, you know, wishing you Merry Christmas, things that they would not say before.
Marcia, what's your message to the world this Christmas?
Slow down. Take one moment at a time to sit down and enjoy those warm fireplaces. To take every second you can with your family and your kids. Get to know your neighbors, your community, and get rid of some of your cell phones, your hustle and bustle.
The season's best from Ferris Realtors, 308 West Dixie Avenue in Elizabethtown. Selling homes, not houses.
I know George Bailey didn't go to college.
That's right, Terrence. He gave his college money to Harry. Harry went instead.
But what happened to that good-looking girl, you know, Mary?
Oh, George saw her now and then. Not very often, though, because Mary went away to school, too. Anyway, George waited 4 years more for Harry to come back and take over the building and loan. He could still see the world. He planned to work in the oil fields, Venezuela. Except when Harry came home, he wasn't alone. There was a girl with him, his wife.
George?
Yeah, I'm out here on the porch, Mother. I just thought I'd get some air.
Well, how do you like your new sister-in-law?
Oh, she's swell.
Looks like she can keep Harry on his toes.
Yeah, and keep him out of Bedford Falls anyway.
What do you mean?
Well, Ruth's father, he's got a wonderful job for Harry up in Buffalo.
Buffalo? Well, that means you...
Yeah.
You can't...
Yeah.
George, did you know Mary Hatch is back from school?
Hmm? Yeah.
Nice girl, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, stop grunting.
Mm-hmm.
Give me one good reason why you shouldn't call on Mary.
Well, Sam Wainwright. Sam's crazy about Mary.
Well, she's not crazy about him.
Well, now, how do you know that? Did she discuss it with you? How did...
Besides... Sam's away in New York.
Oh, and all's fair in love and war. I see. Okay, Mother, I think I'll go out and find that girl and do a little passionate necking.
Oh, George.
Bye, Miss Bailey. By the way, do you want any books at the library?
Library? George! George, you go and see Mary. Do you hear?
Is that you out there?
Oh, hello, Mary.
Well, are you coming in?
I just happened to be passing by here.
Oh, I thought you were picketing. Have you made up your mind?
How's that?
Have you made up your mind?
About what?
About coming in. Your mother just phoned. She said you were coming over.
My mother, just for... What she mean, Carla? I just happened to be passing by, that's all. I didn't...
Well...
I'll come in for a minute, but I didn't tell anybody I was coming here. You feel I can't go out for a walk nowadays without you. When did you get back?
Tuesday.
When did you get that dress?
Do you like it?
It's all right.
Well, no point standing here on the porch. Come on in.
I still can't understand it. I didn't tell anybody I was coming here, you know?
Would you rather leave?
Well, no, I don't want to be rude. Sit down for a while.
It's nice about your brother and Ruth, isn't it?
Yeah. That's all right.
Don't you like her?
Well, of course I like her. She's a peach.
Oh, just marriage in general you're not enthusiastic about, hmm?
No. Marriage is all right for a lot of people. It's all right for Harry and Sam Wainwright and you.
For Sam?
Harry?
It's George Bailey, Mother.
What's he want?
I don't know. What do you want?
Me? Not a thing. Not a thing. I just came in to get warm.
He's making violent love to me, Mother.
You just tell him to go right back home. Sam said he'd call you tonight from New York, didn't he?
I guess so. How about some music?
You know, your mother needs it. You know, I didn't come here to...
What did you come here for, then?
I don't know. You're supposed to be the one with all the answers. You tell me.
Oh, why don't you go home?
I don't know why I came here in the first place. Good night.
Good night.
The way you're shouting, you'd think that...
You think what?
Harry!
All right. autograph?
I'd be very happy to.
Doggone crazy song.
Hello? Sam?
Mary! Gee, it's good to hear your voice.
How are you, Sam?
I forgot my hat.
Hee-haw.
What?
Oh, I was just talking to an old friend of yours, George Bailey.
Oh, Mossback George?
Oh, Mossback George.
Well, put him on. I'll talk to him, too.
Wait a second. George?
He doesn't want to speak to George.
He does so. He asked for him.
Why'd you call me? Because if you're... I'm in a hurry.
Sam wants to talk to you.
Oh. Hiya, Sam.
Hey, fine pal you are, trying to steal my girl.
What do you mean? Nobody's trying to steal anybody's girl. Here, Mary, take the...
No. Wait, George. I want to speak to you both. Tell Mary to get in the extension upstairs.
He says for you to get on the extension upstairs.
I can't. Mother's on the extension. We can both hear, George. Just put your head a little closer.
What?
Yeah, that's better. We're listening, Sam.
Well, I have a big deal coming up that's going to make us all rich. George, remember that time you told me about making plastics out of soybeans?
Soybeans? Yeah. Soybeans, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
My father's checked into it, George, see? And now he's going to put up a factory. How do you like that?
A factory, huh?
And here's the point, George. I may have a job for you unless you're still married to that broken-down building and loan. Oh, Mary?
I'm here.
You tell that guy I'm giving him a chance of a lifetime. Do you hear?
He says it's the chance of a lifetime.
Hey, give me that phone.
Here's George again, Sam. George!
Now, you listen to me, Mary. I don't want any plastics, and I don't want any job, and I don't want to get married ever to anyone. Do you understand that? I want to do what I want to do, and you're not going to trick me. And you're... Mary.
George.
Mary. Oh, Mary, darling, I love you, Mary.
So George Bailey and Mary Hatch were...
Yes, George and Mary were married.
Mm.
And they started off on their honeymoon in Ernie Bishop's taxicab.
Hey, where are you two going on this here now honeymoon?
We're going to shoot the works, Ernie. A whole week in New York, a whole week in Bermuda, the highest hotel, the oldest champagne, the hottest music, and the prettiest wife.
So you're finally getting out of bed for balls, huh? Then what?
Then what, honey?
After that, who cares?
That doesn't. Hey, you know, Mrs. Bailey, I haven't kissed you.
Hey, George, there's something funny going on over there. Look over there at the bank.
All right. Pull over a minute, will you, Ernie?
George, let's not stop. Please, let's go straight to the station.
Now, wait a minute. Let me see what it is. I'll be right back.
George, please. George!
Well, we're back in heaven again, where the superintendent of angels is reviewing the case history of a mortal named George Bailey. Clarence, the apprentice angel, is very eager to depart on his mission to the earth.
Poor George Bailey. Oh, he's certainly in desperate trouble, Joseph. I'll go to him at once.
Now, you sit down, Clarence. Sit down. We're nowhere near the point where George Bailey's thinking of taking his life.
We're not?
Now, where were we? Yes. George and Mary had just started out on their honeymoon when they ran smack into the financial panic of 1932. In the waiting room of the building and loan, 100 frantic people were clamoring for their savings.
Hey, what's going on, Uncle Billy? What's happened? All those people out there.
This is a pickle, George. All I know is the bank called our loan an hour ago. I had to hand over all our cash.
Holy mackerel.
Whole town's gone crazy. Bank's in the same spot we are.
Our charter.
What about our charter?
Our charter says we have to stay open until 6 p.m. The state can take away our license if we don't.
How can we stay open till 6 without any money? George, where are you going?
Out to talk to those people. Come on. Please, wait a minute. Now, listen to me. Now, you're thinking of this place all wrong. Your money's not here. Wait a minute. Now, let me tell you, your money's in people's houses. In the Kennedy house, and the McLaren house, and in your house, and 100 others. Now, what are you going to do, foreclose on them?
I got $240 in shares. Now, let me have it.
All right, Charlie. Now, you'll get your money in 60 days.
60 days?
Well, now, look, that's what you agreed on when you bought your shares.
I got my money.
You 50 cents on every dollar.
Then let's take our shares to part of half. It's better or nothing.
Now, wait a minute. Please, folks, I beg of you not to do this. If Potter gets hold of your shares, he'll be owning this building and loan. He's got the bank, he's got the bus line, he's got the department stores, and now he's after us because he wants to keep you living in his shacks and paying the kind of rent he decides to charge. Now, we can get through this thing, all right, but we've got to stick together. We've got to have faith in each other.
My husband's out of work. We need money.
I've got doctor bills to pay.
I can't feed my kids on faith. We've still got some money.
Hey, Mary.
Here it is, George. You told me to hold on to it. Would have made a nice honeymoon. Got money for you.
I've got $2,000. All right, Charlie, how much do you need?
$240.
No, Charlie, now listen, just enough to tide you over.
I said $240.
Okay, okay. Uncle Billy, give Charlie $240. All right, Ed. Now, how much just to get by?
Oh, $20, I suppose.
Now you're talking. Now you, Mrs. Thompson, how about you?
$20 will do me.
Good, good. $20, Uncle Billy.
Good.
Pay it back when you can now. Pay it back when you can. All right, who's next?
Look at the clock. Look.
5 seconds, 4 seconds, 3, 2, 1.
6 o'clock. We made it. Lock that door, Eustace. Quick.
Boy, we're still in business, Uncle Billy. We even got $2 left.
Hmm?
George, there's a call for you.
Okay, and then call my wife, will you? She's probably over at Mother's.
Mrs. Bailey's on the line.
I don't want Miss Bailey. I want my wife. Mrs. Bailey. Miss Bailey, that's my wife. Give me the phone, will you? Hey, Mary, listen, Mary, I'm sorry. I come home. Well, what home? Well, 323 Sycamore. Well, whose home is that? What? Well, Mary, how can I? Well, sure. All right, sure. I'll be there.
Clarence, guess what 323 Sycamore was?
His mother-in-law's house, huh?
Oh, no. Number 323 Sycamore was the old Granville house, the one George threw rocks at and made wishes. Yes, sir, that's where they spent their honeymoon. That's where they started housekeeping. They were still living there 2 years later when old man Potter asked George to stop over at his office. Sit down, George. Sit down, do. Have a cigar?
Well, thank you, sir.
George, you're a young man, married, making, say, $40 a week at the building and loan.
45.
45. Now, if you were some ordinary yokel, I'd say you were doing fine. But George Bailey is intelligent, ambitious. He hates the building and loan almost as much as I do. He's been dying to get out of town ever since he was born, but he's trapped. Trapped into frittering his life away, playing nursemaid to a lot of garlic eaters. Do I paint a correct picture, George, or do I exaggerate?
Well, what's your point, Mr. Potter?
My point is that you're the only man in town who has licked me. George, I want to hire you. Manage my affairs. I'll start you off at $20,000 a year.
$20,000 a year? Are you sure you're talking to me? I'm George Bailey. Don't you remember me? The building and loan, remember?
Yes, George Bailey, whose ship has just come in, providing he has sense enough to climb aboard.
Well, but what about the building and loan?
Confound it, man. I'm offering you a 3-year contract at $20,000 a year. Is it a deal or isn't it?
No, no. The answer's no, doggone it. If you offered me $1 million to stay around this town and play stooge to you, the answer would still be no. Now, let me alone. Don't bother me.